From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Every week this year, we've presented a selection from the NPR 100, our list of the 100 most significant American musical works of the 20th century. Today, for our final installment, we have a holiday classic, White Christmas. In the 101 years that Irving Berlin lived, he wrote close to 1,000 songs, and many became standards. God Bless America, There's No Business Like Show Business, Alexander's Ragtime Band. But far and away, his most popular song was White Christmas. Jeff London reports on the creation and the enduring appeal of this song.
Irving Berlin's White Christmas is the most recorded popular song in the world. Jody Rosen is currently writing a book about White Christmas, which he says will be a biography of the song.
Berlin had a unique ability to write songs which sounded like they really were always there. You know, White Christmas draws on bedrock traditions in American culture. It's coming from the same place as Courier and Ives, Prince, and Robert Frost's Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. This New England snowy setting is something that feels to us like something that we all sort of know and has always been.
The white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Linda Emmett is one of Irving Berlin's daughters and co-editor of the Complete Lyrics of Irving Berlin, which will be released next fall.
It's very evocative. The snow, the Christmas card, the sleigh bells. It's very evocative and it's entirely secular.
Christmas was not exactly a holiday that Irving Berlin grew up celebrating. He was born in Russia, the son of a cantor, and his first language was Yiddish.
As a Russian-Jewish immigrant, when he came to the United States, Christmas was an American holiday to him, because if you think about it, he would not have had any contact with the Russian Orthodox Church. It was like every American holiday. It was a fresh, new experience for him.
Mandy Patinkin singing a Yiddish translation of the tune. For a song as immensely popular as White Christmas, surprisingly little is known about its genesis. Even Irving Berlin's daughter, Linda Emmett, doesn't know when or where her father wrote it.
I believe it was written in either 1938 or 39, possibly in Arizona, possibly in New York, or perhaps in both places.
Author Jody Rosen has his theories.
Possibly over Christmas 1937, when he was separated from his family for the first time, in Beverly Hills making a movie called Alexander's Ragtime Band.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But it's December the 24th, and I am longing to be up north.
I think that he may have written that first part of the song there and then come back to it a couple years later in 1940 and composed the famous chorus that we know today.
Both Rosen and Emmett agree that White Christmas was originally written for a Broadway musical review about American holidays, which was never produced. But Paramount Pictures picked up the idea and turned it into Holiday Inn, starring Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. As Irving Berlin told the BBC, when the film was released in 1942, he thought another tune would be the hit.
I had a song in there called Be Careful, It's My Heart, for Valentine's Day. And that's the song I picked as the big hit, and that's the song, as a publisher, I plugged.
careful, it's my heart. It's not my watch you're holding, it's my heart.
And it was a fair success, nothing. But I also had a song in there called White Christmas.
Bing Crosby's single was released in October of 1942 and steadily rose on the hit parade. But what really made White Christmas a success was its inclusion in the playlist of Armed Forces Radio. American GIs, spending their first Christmas overseas during World War II, wholeheartedly embraced the song's homespun sentiments, according to Bing Crosby.
I sang it many times in Europe, in the field for soldiers, and they'd holler for it, they'd demand it, and when I'd sing it, they'd all cry, you know. It's nostalgic and it's kind of poignant, you know. First, particularly during the war years, you know, so many young people were away and they'd hear this song, and if it happened to be that time of the year, it would really affect them.
Crosby reproduced this experience 12 years later in the classic movie White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your day...
Jody Rosen says that one of the more surprising aspects of White Christmas's popularity is that in spirit, if not in form, it's a blues song.
It's very melancholy. And I think this really makes it stand out amongst the kind of chirpy seasonal standards, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, let it snow, etc. And I think that's one of the reasons why people keep responding to it, because our feelings over the holiday season are ambivalent.
Berlin's own feelings about the holiday were certainly ambivalent. He suffered a tragedy on Christmas Day in 1928 when his three-week-old son, Irving Berlin Jr., died. Every Christmas thereafter, he and his wife visited his son's grave.
The kind of deep secret of the song may be that it was Berlin responding in some way to his melancholy about the death of his son.
There have been hundreds of versions of White Christmas recorded over the years, but Bing Crosby's single has outsold every one of them. Author Jody Rosen thinks that the success of the record and the power of the performance is a watershed event in the history of American pop culture.
It marks the moment, I think, when performers supplant songwriters as the central creative forces in at least a mainstream American pop music. And the emphasis shifts to charismatic performances recorded for all time and preserved on records. So I think, in a way, White Christmas is both the pinnacle of the Tin Pan Alley era and its swan song, because shortly after White Christmas, you have Frank Sinatra, and then very quickly you have Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry and Little Richard, and we're getting into the rock era.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
In 1957, Elvis Presley recorded a Christmas album. On it, he performed a song called Blue Christmas, which was perhaps his response to White Christmas. But that didn't stop him from also reinterpreting Berlin's classic.
Berlin couldn't stand Presley, and Presley recorded a cover version of White Christmas for his Christmas album, which Berlin took as a kind of sacrilege. He really thought it was degrading to his song. So he and members of his staff launched a furious campaign to try and get radio stations to ban the Presley record.
Despite Berlin's efforts to keep the record off the air, Elvis's single topped the Billboard charts, and the royalty checks kept on coming. White Christmas has been recorded by all sorts of artists, from Alvin and the Chipmunks to Zamfir, from the Three Tenors to Michael Bolton, from Tammy Wynette to the Drifters.
I'm dreaming of white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops listen and listen to hear play bells and the chime.
In April of 1975, White Christmas again became part of American military history, according to Jody Rosen.
The Army used White Christmas as the secret signal instructing American soldiers to evacuate Saigon. It was played several times in a row over Armed Forces Radio. What's interesting is this psalm, which during World War II was really the psalm of American soldiers' homesickness, became somewhat ironically in 1975 the let's go home and get the hell out of here psalm for the American Army in Vietnam.
Tastes change. Musical styles change. MP3s replace CDs, which replace records. White Christmas endures. Irving Berlin's daughter, Linda Emmett.
White Christmas has taken a place along with Christmas carols and classical Christmas songs, which to me is quite remarkable. And the nicest thing is to think that it is played in many different parts of the world and places where there are many different ideas about Christmas and very different political ideas or cultural ideas, but the song transcends that.
For NPR News, I'm Jeff London.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
To see the complete list of our NPR 100 selections, you can go to our website, npr.org.